little surprised at James Johnson's tweet after that win over Cleveland. You know, mood, hashtag, underutilized, I think is what he said.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's a mood. But, you know, look, James Johnson and Dwayne Casey have had their moments before. Is this something that will concern the coach and concern the organization, or should it?
This is what I get my first time on with the Killer Bees.
Like, yes.
I know it's not Biggio and Bagwell, but this is
what you get.
The beat goes on, eh? And the beat goes on. Right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, stir the pot. That's what we're here for. Stir the pot.
And the beat goes on. Yes, I should know that. Look, here's my comparison, my analogy with James Johnson. And if you've been in education, you know that there are kids that come into your class that have an OSR, an Ontario student record, that looks like, well, nobody uses phone books anymore, but what the New York phone book used to look like.
Mm-hmm.
And it's thick, and it's full of stuff, and it's full of history, shall we say. And if you're the teacher, you are aware of some of the history, but you're going to give the kid a chance to redefine himself or herself. So you don't go through the OSR, and you take it as it comes. And I think that's what Dwayne Casey has tried to do with James Johnson. And that kid, who's a tough kid, buys in for a while, and everything's going swimmingly, but it's kind of tough to change. You know, my dad used to say, and I don't know what the English is, but the Latin, I don't know what the Latin, the translation is, but he used to say that Latin and the English is, people that are square don't die round. James Johnson is that kind of kid. He's a great kid. He works hard. But in a way, he needs to be loved. You know, he needs to feel that he's part of it. And it's tough when you're sitting on the bench and you don't get those minutes to feel that you're contributing.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it was a malicious, knowing James Johnson the way I know him, I don't think it was, you know, malicious. We're heading for practice now. I'm sure it'll be the topic, and I'm sure there will be some depiction of an apology. And you know what? I shouldn't have said that after a win, but you know, you can kind of read that with him. I like I said, I don't think it was meant to be. Maybe I shouldn't speak for him, but what I know of him, I don't think it was meant to be, oh, woe is me, or kind of dissension, to invoke any kind of dissension. But that's how the kid's feeling, and there's a little part of him that needs to be a little bit more professional. Hang on to that. Hold that inside.
It seems to me, from a coaching perspective, Paul, it's a trickier thing to deal with a guy who is unhappy within a dressing room and within the, you know, relatively small roster that you're dealing with in basketball. Dealing with a guy who is unhappy during good times, because, you know, during bad times the team's going, you know, not.
Oh yeah,
things,
everybody's got an answer, right, Brett?
Yeah.
When you're losing, everybody's got the answer.
Correct. So, but this is the opposite, and you know, things are kind of. They're okay, right? And you come in, in fact, coming off a very significant win the other night, minus Valanciunas against the best team in the East, and a guy's unhappy in that context. I'm thinking that doesn't play well with the coach, but it probably doesn't play that well within the room, I'm thinking.
Well, it might not, and that's when, you know, a veteran pulls him aside and says, hey, look, just keep working. You never know when your time is going to come. It's hard to take now. Everybody's celebrating, and maybe you don't feel like you're part of it, or we're doing well. You are part of it. Keep your nose to the grindstone. Just keep working. You're pushing everybody in practice to make them better. You're staying ready in case you're called upon. Just stay in your lane. And that's always been my phrase for James Johnson. It's kind of stay in your lane. When he does that, he's really, really good. And I think that's part of the reason why, you know, a lot of people ask why he isn't used more. Because I don't know if the coaching staff can always, they do sometimes, but consistently trust him to stay in his lane. Like, he'll make a great play and then try to do a little bit too much. And again, not maliciously or in a malevolent sense, but just trying to do over-exuberant, trying to do a little bit too much, and it goes bad. Like I said, I go back to that kid that's been a tough kid, and he's got it going the right way in your classroom, and then you know, temptation creeps into it, and he does something stupid, and you go, why? And he goes, oh, I don't know, I was doing so well. That's James Johnson.
But you're saying the effort's worth it, Paul. Is that what you, right?
I think it is. Stephen, you look at him from a physical standpoint, he's 6'9", 260, can run and jump, and you put him out there, he's a guy that can cover the LeBron James, the Carmelo Anthonys. He's a guy that they brought in for that. Now, he didn't have a lot of success with it last year because I think he tried to do too much when he got that opportunity to do what he was supposed to do, right? Get out there and, you know, make Carmelo work, make LeBron work, you know, get out there and, you know, cover those guys, work on them. Joe Johnson, that's yours. Stay on him. And while he's doing that, he gets the ball on offense and he tries to step outside of himself and things don't work. And now the coach says, oh, come on, like you're killing me on the other end. So now I can't play you. And that's it in a nutshell. And Stephen, as you said, the NBA, it's about managing people. It really is. And we know any form of leadership, there's an operational side, the nuts and the bolts. I mean, you know, like I said, I go back to when I was a principal. Any idiot can do a timetable. Well, I shouldn't say that. It's hard. I mean, anybody operationally can do a timetable and set up a schedule and you know, put prep coverage out there. Any coach has sideline out-of-bound plays,
yeah,
and offenses and stuff. But can you manage people? Can you become a leader of people so that they buy into the concept of we more than me? That's what coaching's about. That's really what it's about at the NBA. Can you get guys to get on board to see the greater good for the group and not be lost in their own individualism?
Paul, going into Washington tomorrow night, the team that eliminated the Raptors in the playoffs last year went on to beat Atlanta as well, went on a good run. I would think, and I know it's a long season, and I know that the Raptors probably feel they have bigger fish to fry here, but considering how that playoff ended, the picture I have of Kyle Lowry just, you know, at his wit's end at the end of that series, I've got to think that the Raptors, Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan in particular, feel they might have a point to prove tomorrow night, even though it's game 17 of a long season. That to me is one of those games you might consider it a notch in your belt if you're the Raptors, isn't it?
Well, it's a little payback. You know, you would be, and I know they'll say, no, it's just another game, and it is one of, you know, 82 or, you know, 65 remaining or whatever, but I think there's a little eye to it. I really do, and Washington's been up and down recently. I think they're like, I think they're hovering around the 500
mark. Yeah, they're 6-6, yeah.
You know, I think the Raptors will look at it that way. I really do. And people will look at the regular season. This is what I said. They looked at the regular season last year and said, well, you know, let's get Washington in the playoffs. We beat them 3 in a row. Well, one was game 4 in the season, and one was played without Bradley Beal. So you can throw those two out right away. And what happens? The Raptors get swept. So I would think, Jeff, they would look towards this game with a little eye to, okay, we just want to show you guys we're not the – not the pushover you thought you had last year in the playoffs.
Bismack Biyombo in the win over Cleveland. You know, we saw the end of the game. He was left open a couple of times, actually caught the ball and was able to convert. But I want to ask you, what are reasonable expectations for him offensively as Jonas Valanciunas' replacement? Whether there's a number out there, what do you expect to see from him offensively? Because defensively, I think we know what he can do. Defensively, yeah, we know what he can do. And in some ways, he may be better than Jonas defensively in a certain scheme. But offensively, what does he have to do to contribute?
I think the thing for him is just present himself around the basket and be ready to catch and make short shots. Catch and dunk, you know, make five-footers when the ball's dropped off to him. You know, out on the West Coast trip, we had lots of people saying, you know, you can't play him. It's 4-on-5. Lots of fans saying that. Well, no, the Raptors just hadn't learned where to get him the ball. I mean, you can't have him shooting. You know, it's not wise to have him consistently shooting 17, 18-foot jumpers. You know, mm-hmm. He got the ball once at the end of the clock at the elbow. He had to shoot it. People say, well, you know, like, how can you give him the ball there? Well, you can't. You shouldn't. But the clock was running down and everything else was taken away. And I think you saw that the other night. He is great in the high screen and roll. He's a great screen setter, rolls hard down the lane and doesn't always get the ball. And the analogy I draw is he's the guy that runs the fly pattern to clear out the flat. Mm-hmm. And all game they go to the guy in the flat, and the one time they leave the guy open on the fly pattern, they throw it over the top, and it's a touchdown. Mm-hmm. Well, the other night he got two dunks late in the game because he kept rolling hard, and Cleveland didn't pay attention, and finally Lowry found him when he needed him.
Right.
And that's the kind of thing that you expect, Jeff, from him.
I guess the answer would be that he has to do enough offensively that other teams have to account for him offensively.
Just enough.
Yeah.
Steven, catch and dunk. Look, this kid doesn't cry about not getting a pass. A pass to him is a missed shot off the glass. I'll go get that.
Hmm.
He keeps the ball alive. He's a good offensive rebounder. He gives you second and third opportunities by not crying or bemoaning the fact that, oh, I was open, I didn't get the ball. He says, all right, well, they're going to miss a shot. They might miss a shot, and I'll go get the rebound. So I think that's what you expect from him. Second chance opportunities, extra possessions, dunks, tips, those kinds of things on the offensive end. You're not going to throw the ball into him consistently like you would with Valanciunas and expect him to go to work. Now, he will get it once in a while down there, and I think you have to do that to keep him engaged and active in the offense. But at the same time, I don't expect to see that on a regular basis.